Good morning, or depending when you're listening to this, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. My name's Ross, and I was always taught I had a voice for radio, so I've made a podcast all about the Pokemon trading card game. And you're listening to PTCG Radio. Now, this week we've got a pretty gosh darn lovely show for you today. I'm going to be taking you through the US Nationals results, as well as Canadian Nationals results. And I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about some really, really big news, which unfortunately broke about an hour after I posted the podcast last week, but as happens, and various other things. So listen in, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be wonderful. And just before we get going properly, I don't want to ruin too much, I want to go through this properly, I want to go through the show as we usually do, but I do just want to point out that a few weeks ago I started pushing Victory Road, the blog victory-road.co, on this particular podcast, and I told you that I'm pushing it because it's a good blog, and I don't push blogs that aren't good. I have it on very good authority that the winning US Nationals deck list was lifted verbatim off of the Victory Road blog. Now, I'm not the person who won US Nationals, but I, shall we say, I've seen proof that seems pretty irrefutable, i.e. a confession, to... No, confession's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. I have it on incredibly good authority that the winning deck list from US Nationals was one taken from the blog Victory Road. So when I tell you things are worth checking out, probably telling the truth. So starting off with news this week, there are a couple of less interesting bits of news, so let's start it off nice and quickly. First of all, it has been announced that the... Oh, sorry, there are some new promo cards which have been announced. We don't know what they say yet. There's new Xerneas and Yveltal promos, as well as the first two Diancie promos, or the first two Diancie cards, I should say. They're being released in conjunction with Movie 17, the 17th Pokemon movie in Japan. The Cocoon of Destruction and Diancie will get them at some point. We haven't got a translation, so it's not particularly big news. Now, in potentially really good, potentially nobody cares news, the Fall Tins have been announced, and I mean, we should have seen this coming a mile off, really. But the Fall Tins this year will be Venusaur EX, Blastoise EX, and Charizard EX. Now, and the question really comes down, because Venusaur and Blastoise are both meh. Charizard, there's a really good one and a really bad one, but of course all of the tins have alternate arts, so just from the product image we can actually see which Charizard it is. One of them, and there's already been a promo which wasn't the good Charizard, there's been a promo Charizard EX that wasn't the good one. If it's the good Charizard, the one with the attack which I can't remember the name of, but it does, the one without Stoke, the one that does 150 damage for 4 energy, the one which is often paired with Pyrrole, this might be a really good tin to start having a go for. If it's the other Charizard, which I believe is the same one that was also printed as a promo, it's rubbish and no one's going to want it. So keep your eyes out. Obviously, as soon as I know, I shall let you know. Now, in kind of TCG news, this is more of an appeal for those of you that don't remember it, but the Pokemon trading card game for the Game Boy, which was released years ago, back in April 2000, I'm reliably informed by Pokebeach.com, it's coming to the 3DS Virtual Console. Get it, ladies and gentlemen. I actually have two copies of this game because I bought it, and then a while ago I lent it to my friend and really wanted to play it, so I actually went and bought myself a second copy. It's a really good game, a really faithful creation of the early days of the Pokemon trading card game, and it's just fun, and it's fun to experiment with other formats, and if you get bored of playing PTCGO, it's really cool, and I would recommend it. Product images for Mega Charizard Collection and the Mega Evolution Collector Pin 3 Pack. They're the packs where you get 4 promo packs, a Charizard non-EX promo, and either a Mega Charizard X or Y figurine have been revealed. They look fine. The packs appear to be 2 Flash Fire, 2 Rising Fist, although that could obviously change. And the 3 pack promos with the pins, you can get a Mega Charizard X pin, a Mega Charizard Y pin, or a Mega Lucario pin, and they appear to come with 2 Flash Fire and 1 XY. But again, these aren't actually confirmed yet. So not particularly big news, but things which I wanted to make you aware of, because I like to be a bit of a completist. Now the big news, And this is slightly confusing, so I shall do my very best to explain it as well as I can. It was formally announced last week, just after the podcast was up, that the alternate format is coming. And that two-day regionals will use the alternate format on the second day of the regional. Now, first things first before we get going, I'm aware that the majority of my listeners are actually now in the US, so this will apply to you. I know I have a lot of listeners in the UK, so I'm going to tell you guys what I've told everybody else. I have no idea how this is going to work in the UK. We don't have two-day regionals. It has not been announced. The persistent rumour that which was going around before last week was that some league challenges will be done entirely in the extended format. I have no way of knowing if that's true or not. I'll let you know when we do. For the time being, we have no idea how this is going to work in the UK. But essentially, what this means is the extended format will be black and white on. So that means that for day one of the tournament, you will be using your regular deck. Now, I'm going to assume, and this is nothing more than assumption, this is not official, I am going to go ahead and assume that the format next year is going to be Plasma Storm on. Now, a couple of years ago, Pokemon announced that they were going to just rotate four sets a season, and they very quickly started going against that. But this year, if they rotate four sets, we're going to lose Next Destinies, Dark Explorers, Dragons Exalted, and Boundaries Crossed. Not only would we lose four sets, as a couple years ago Pokemon said they wanted, but also that would mean that the first legal set would be Plasma Storm, which is, for those of you that aren't aware, it's referred to as the first in a block. So Boundaries Crossed was the last in the black and white block, and Plasma Storm is the first in the plasma block, and then X and Y is the first in the X and Y block, and so on and so forth. Pokemon like rotating to the start of a block, like when they rotated to Heart Gold, Soul Silver on, or Black and White on, or Diamond and Pearl on, way back in the day. So I'm going by the assumption that it's going to be Plasma Storm on. If I were a betting man, and if bookies would take money on this, I would put money on it. It just seems like the most logical solution. So what this, and that's a bit of a side note, let's get back to it. What this means is that on day one of a regionals, you will be using your Plasma Storm on deck, which is likely to be something like Lucario, Mewtwo, or I think most of Blastoise is going to be there except Tropical Beach, or what, maybe an Yveltal deck. But then on day two, you can switch to a black and white on deck. Now, of course, you don't have to switch, because any deck which meets the requirements for Plasma Storm on will also be a black and white on deck. So you could continue playing the same deck in day two of regionals. But having said that, if you're good enough to make day two of regionals, you're probably good and switched on enough to change your deck. Now, this does have a nice humorous little kind of side note here, which is that some regionals just have top eight on day two, whereas other regionals have the, you know, nine rounds on day one, and then five rounds plus top eight on day two. Which means, let's say for argument's sake, that the tournament was just Swiss rounds, Plasma Storm on, Top Cut, Black and White on. This means you could develop two decks. You could develop a Plasma Storm on deck and a Black and White on deck. But you would be developing the Plasma Storm on deck, not to win, but just to cut. And then your black and white on deck would be developed not to do consistently well, but to win. Now, we're going to have an interview with Scott Burgess later on in the podcast, and he took a very different approach to Tamal Cameron, who was a UK Worlds qualifier we had on a couple of weeks back. Essentially, Tamal played a deck just aiming to top cut. Scott played a deck which was basically, I'm either going to win or I'm going to crash out, let's go for that. So essentially, this would make people want to play a consistent, fairly low-risk deck to get into Top Cut, and then when they get to Top 8 and we went to Black and White on, this means that they would then go for the all-or-nothing, risky, let's-go-for-it deck, knowing that the worst-case scenario is they finish Top 8. It's long been established that there are different decks you would want to play. So to give you an example, at the moment, something like TDK is a really good top-cutting deck. It's consistent, and it's good against Yveltal and stuff, but it is absolutely killed stone dead by a good Pyrol player playing a good list. And I've, over my podcast and my YouTube channel and my article for Six Prizes, I've proven this wasn't the isn't always the case. And in fact, this week I've played three Pyrol decks with TDK, and between them, they've taken a single prize. But Pyrol can be a very bad matchup for TDK. So you don't want to play TDK and then come against something like Michael Pramrot's Pyrol deck, which he got the final of US Nationals this past weekend, because you're going to be stopped stone dead. But it's a really good deck for cutting. Just maybe not winning an event. So not only would you be picking two different decks for two different formats, but there's an extra layer which some people haven't noticed to this, and this is the fact that you're not just going, this is my Plasma Storm on deck, you want to be going, this is my deck that's going to make it to day two, and then I'm going to swap to my black and white on deck, which also happens to be my, I'm going to win with this, not let's make a simple, straightforward, consistent deck. I think that the top eight decks, the black and white on decks, could become very interesting and creative because people know that the worst case scenario is top eight, and people are going to be willing to take more risks knowing that they're going to be playing against, you know, good people, but people who are likely to be playing metagame decks. Now, the interesting thing, however, is that if there are extra rounds of Swiss on day two, you only have the opportunity to switch your deck going into day two. Which means if I've got my Plasma Storm on and my black and white on deck, and say there's day one, rounds 1 to 9, day two, 5 rounds and top 8. That means that if I want to switch to my black and white on deck, I can switch at the beginning of the second lot of Swiss, the top 32 if you will, but not before the top 8. So then you run into this weird situation of, I've made my black and white on deck to be a kind of big high risk, high reward deck, purely focused at getting through a top 8 scenario, but I've got to play it in my 5 rounds of Swiss. So it's almost like you're going to have to try and calculate if there's going to be 5 extra rounds of Swiss and then a top 8, or whether there's just going to be a top 8. Because as all veteran players will know, there is a big difference between a deck which will get you through Swiss and a deck which will run through the top cut and get you to a victory. And obviously some decks will do both, but I'm talking about the chances of getting through cut and the chances of going on to victory. So it's going to add, and a lot of people are complaining about this. I love this. Now, admittedly, I want to play more Pokemon next year, and this gives me an extra format to test, and it gives me more to talk about on the podcast, but this is just a really good idea to have both formats and be able to test them for both. There are, however, 3 major downsides to this. Downside number 1, you've got to get some of your old cards back, because you might not have the black and white on cards, or you might be a new player that never had the black and white on cards. So you might have to go and buy more cards. That's a pain. Problem number 2, time. Not everyone has got time to test 2 formats. And kind of number 3, people are arguing that it's too onerous, that they don't want these different formats, that it's kind of confusing and annoying. I'll leave that one up to you. Now, I did just have a little look. Now, I'm not going to talk about the 4 sets which I believe are going to be rotated. But the 3 sets which are definitely going to be brought back are Black and White, Emerging Powers and Noble Victories. Now, a quick gander, and this was only a quick gander, I probably missed something. But a quick gander over these cards showed me basically that in Black and White, we're getting Black Plus Power, which, to be honest, has been entirely overshadowed by Hypnotoxic Laser and Muscle Band. Pokemon Communication, which is good, but is really better for setup decks, and that's not what we're seeing a huge amount of. And Super Scoop Up, which has always been a big risk-reward card. For those that don't remember, Super Scoop Up is Scoop Up Cyclone with a flip. Flip a coin, if heads, you get to pick up a Pokemon and all cards attached to it and put it back into your hand. Emerging Powers gives us Recycle, Flip a Coin, Trainer, Flip a Coin if heads put any card on the top of your discard pile, or the top of your deck, I think top of your deck. Just adds a little bit of consistency if you can hit a head. Gives us ways to recycle, pun intended, things like Double Colourless Energy. And Noble Victories gives us Electric. That was the Stage 1 Electric Pokemon which allowed you to attach, once a turn, an energy card from your lightning energy from your discard pile to one of your Pokemon. Now, Japan has been playing Black and White on for a little while now. And Electric has been doing fantastically well. And everyone's just been saying, and Verbank City Gym, the big Facebook Pokemon group, has been going crazy for the last couple of weeks. Couple of days since this was posted, about how good Eels is going to be. All I'm going to say about that is this. Eels was good because of Rayquaza. Droneagon counters that really nicely. So in Japan, they've been going to things like Zekrom EX and Raikou EX, and even regular Zekrom. When Rising Fist comes out, the format is going to be absolutely overrun by fighting Pokemon that can very easily one-hit KO these electric Pokemon. So why does everyone think Eels is going to be good? All of your good attackers have really, really easy counters that people will be playing. If I make a fighting deck with Lucario EX, I can put Landorus in because it's black and white on, and Droneagon, and Garbodor, I'm going to absolutely destroy these Eels decks. So, although everyone's been talking about how badly Eels is going to dominate in this new format, I'm not entirely sure all of these people have thought this through as well as they could, because honestly, from where I'm sitting, I don't see Eels being good. Now, don't get me wrong, if nobody's playing Droneagon, and if nobody's playing this fighting stuff, then yeah, Eels will dominate. But that's a hell of a big if. So I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just not buying that at all. Now, we have got a couple of interviews to come up. We have Scott Burgess definitely on the programme. He has been recorded. He will definitely be here. He is the UK national champion. And the UK nationals runner-up, Samuel McCluey, is scheduled to be on the podcast. I've yet to record that and will hopefully do so before it goes out. So fingers crossed we'll have him on as well. But before that, let's look at the nationals results. First up, Canadian nationals. And let's just go through the top 8, because Canadian Nationals, being a bit smaller, just had a top 8. Thank you very much to friend of the podcast, Mark Levy, for sending me a challenge.com bracket for this, showing me exactly how the top 8 panned out. I really appreciate that. And I'm going to apologise for my pronunciation of the names, don't hold it against me. So, in top 8, we had Simon Long's Plasma beating Winston Chan's Evil Tower Raichu. Edward Kwang's Eviltal beating Zachary Lesage's Eviltal Raichu. Ricky Gal's Eviltal Garbodor beating Curtis Leon's Embor. And Matthew Koo's Embor beating Andrew Estrada's Virizion Genesect. Up into top 4, we saw Simon Long's Plasma losing to Edward Kwang's Eviltal. And Ricky Gal's Eviltal Garbodor beating Matthew Koo's Embor. And then in the All Eviltal final, Edward Kwong's Eviltal beat Ricky Gal's Eviltal Garbodor. Which, of course, shouldn't be surprising. If you've got regular Eviltal against Eviltal Garbodor, the Eviltal Garbodor's just got a bunch of dead cards in his deck and is less consistent. So if we look at Canadian Nationals, what we see is a whopping 4 Eviltal decks, 1 Plasma, 1 Virizion Genesect, and 2 Embor. Virizion Genesect, remember, was seeing a huge amount of play, and Canada has been playing more Embor than average this season, so it's not surprising to see Embor having a bit of a showing, with one top 4 and another top 8. But there's nothing particularly surprising about Canadian Nationals, so let's move straight on to US Nationals, which is obviously the big one which everybody's wondering about, and it's really the one which influences Worlds. For those of you that weren't around last year, and even I suppose those that were, at Worlds last year we saw Gofurtel Excelgor take home the victory and pretty much take the tournament by storm after it had done well, I believe, and won Norway Nationals, although there was some controversy in terms of the actual victory in Norway. And then, of course, it got to Nationals, and as I've been talking about with Tamau and with Charlie Powell the last couple of weeks on the podcast, we got to Worlds, and everyone was teching against Gofurtel, and it was no good whatsoever. So it'll be interesting to see what won this time around. So what I've gone and done is I've basically gone through and looked at the total numbers from top 32 upwards. So when I give you the numbers for top 32, that's not including any that went above top 32. So, starting off in top 32, but no further, so going out in top 32, we saw 3 Evil Tau decks, 3 Pyral decks, 3 Aromatist decks, and as a side note, this was the highest Aromatist actually got, 3 Virizion Genesect decks, 3 Plasma decks, and 1 Flygon deck. In top 16, in addition to the top 32, we saw 2 Evil Tau, 2 Pyral, 2 Lugia Plasma, and this was as high as Lugia got, and 2 Flygon decks. Moving into top 8, we saw 2 Pyral decks, 1 Virizion Genesect, and this was the furthest Virizion Genesect got, and 1 Flygon Dusknoir, piloted by Henry Pryor, who was the top Flygon Dusknoir player at US Nationals this year. Moving into top 4, we saw 1 Evil Tau Garbodor and 1 TDK Plasma. And then in the final, we saw the old school Michael Pramawat, he who's been around for a while and got second at Worlds and all of that, taking on the playing pretty much straight Pyrol with 1 Mewtwo and 1 Charizard. Literally, his Pokemon line was 4 Litleo, 4 Pyrol, 1 Charizard, 1 Mewtwo. Taking on the just aged up Brandon Salazar playing Big Basics. And Brandon Salazar's Big Basics took down Michael Pramawat's Charizard Pyrol deck. So congratulations to Brandon Salazar, who has, I hear, confirmed that his deck list came from victory-road.co. So get yourselves along there, ladies and gentlemen, and have a look at that list. Or if you don't want to go along there, tonight I will be posting a YouTube video, which is a deck breakdown of the US Nationals winning list, explaining what cards are on there, in what counts, and why, and any changes I would consider making. And tomorrow on my YouTube channel, you will see a video which is just the first couple of games I played with that particular deck against random people. Speaking of the YouTube channel, I've been adding 4 or 5 videos a week. I'm making it almost daily at the moment. But one thing which a lot of you have been asking for, which will be going up starting this week, hopefully, this past weekend in Sutton Coldfield, there was a Professor Cup Rules tournament, which I entered, and as well as entering it, I live recorded actual people with actual cards, first time on my YouTube channel, all of my games, plus one of the top 4 games, plus the final, and all of those will be going up with commentary onto my YouTube channel in the near future, within the next week, hopefully. So keep an eye out for them, they are all going up soon. And like I say, look out for those 2 decks with this Big Basics list, those 2 videos. Recently, there has been a Flygon Dusknoir deck analysis, which I believe is the list Henry Pryor took to US Nationals, if not, it's very close, along with a mirror match with Flygon Dusknoir that I played against Mr. US Nationals and World Commentator himself, Jay Witz. So go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/user/PTCG Radio, or just search PTCG Radio on YouTube, you'll find it easily enough. So that was US Nationals, though let's go into a little bit of analysis on those results. Humorously, all of the top 32 decks except Flygon, there were 3 of them, and all of the top 16 decks, there were 2 of them. Just something to point out. But in terms of total, there was 1 Big Basics deck, which won the whole thing, 3 Aromatist decks that made it no further than top 32, 4 Flygon decks, which made it no further than top 8, 4 Virizion Genesect decks, which made it no further than top 8, 6 Plasma decks, the best of which made it to top 4, 6 Evil Tau decks, I think 5 of which were Evil Tau Garbodor, which interestingly enough, not a single one of them got past top 4. That might seem a bit silly, I'm just saying that none of them made the final, but when you consider how dominant Evil Tau has been at International Nationals, that's really quite strange. And the most successful, the best represented deck in top 32, taking 1 in every 4 top 32 slots, Pyrol. And here's the really interesting thing about these Pyrol decks. The majority of them are Pyrol. Not Pyrol Charizard, just Pyrol. A lot of them have been listed as Pyrol Roller Skates. Now, I've been saying for some time that Pyrol decks are not good enough. And the early lists we've seen, Pyrol Charizard, etc., have just plain been not good enough. But there seems to be a shift. People, and you could see this on the stream with Michael Pramor in the final, are playing decks which are basically just Pyro with maybe a Charizard and Mewtwo or, you know, a couple of support Pokemon to back them up, with Tropical Beach and Bicycle and Roller Skates and heavy Blacksmith lines, and basically just trying to make it as fast and consistent as possible, focusing on Pyro, not focusing on other cards, not going for Charizard Pyro, just going straight up Pyro. Maybe this is the way to play it. So what effect is this likely to have? I suppose actually just talking, you know, a little bit more. Evil Tail, still amazing, don't expect a drop-off in that. Plasma, showing itself to be better than Virizion Genesect. Aromatis, still underperforming, like I've said, all the way along it has been. And interestingly, 4 Flygon Dustwar in top 32. That's 1 in 8 top 32 decks, which is pretty cool when you think about it. So that was... I quite enjoyed that, 4 Flygon Dustwar. So what is this likely to do to Worlds? Well, 2 things. 3 things. First of all, I would be stunned if more people didn't play Big Basics at Worlds. You'll see from the video I'm going to post, I assume it will be going up tomorrow, maybe Friday at the latest, where I play this deck. It is good, and it is fast, and it works, and you steal some easy victories, which, when you're playing a big long tournament, is very, very important. Not only that, but it's got pretty solid matchups. It's quite good against Evil Tail, because it plays Raichu. Essentially, the deck is Mewtwo, Landorus, Raichu, Garbodor. But like I say, go check out my deck breakdown, which isn't up there yet, but should be up there by tonight. And it's got a good matchup against Pyro, because of all the Garbodor and Raichu. And it's got an okay Virizion Genesect matchup, although it's not one of its best. What it does have a bad matchup is against TDK. But one of the other things we should be seeing at Worlds is a lot more Pyro, because Pyro has shown itself to be good. And because Pyro started doing well, it will not take much time at all for good Pyro lists to be out there on the internet. And as soon as the good Pyro lists get out there, it's over, essentially. It's out there and more people will be playing Pyro, which will have the knock-on effect of making Plasma much less played, because as I've been taking a lot of effort to try and demonstrate over the last few weeks, Pyro is not some horrible auto-loss matchup against TDK, because, I mean, essentially, you can just knock out what's on their bench, or if they just bring up one Pyro, or a couple of Pyro, you can use Thunderous's Thunderous Noise to knock their energy off while poisoning them. But if you're just going against a quad Pyro deck with just a couple other Pokemon in, and they've got a bunch of switches, and they're playing a really consistent list of a load of Blacksmiths, maybe you can't run them out of energy. Maybe your 4 lasers won't go far enough. And maybe that will see a big decrease in the amount of Plasma being played. And if that shows a big decrease in the amount of Plasma being played, then that might then in turn make Big Basics better, because it's got a good Pyro matchup, but a bad TDK matchup. This is kind of what I was talking about over the last couple of weeks with Kling Klang and Gofretel Excelgor at Worlds last year. The question really is, what did well at US Nationals, and then is that deck going to be played at Worlds, or is that deck going to be counted at Worlds? Now, Gofretel Excelgor, nobody really liked, so they just counted it instead. I can see Pyro and Big Basics being played at Worlds. And that means that something like Plasma, probably not the best shout because of all the Pyro running around. Which then makes Big Basics maybe the best deck for Nationals. I suppose, ladies and gentlemen, we shall have to see. So that's pretty much US Nationals. The only other thing I want to... Oh, actually, no, there are a few more things. One more thing I want to say about US Nationals. Seniors was won by Empoleon Dusknoir Miltank, which is amazing. That list was posted by Ishan, the senior Nationals champion. That list was posted up onto Facebook, so I will be bringing you a deck breakdown of that deck and the first couple games I play with it on my YouTube channel, hopefully in the next week. But bearing in mind, I have got the deck breakdown and games from the Big Basics deck as well as maybe a couple other videos, and the Professor Cup format tournament in its entirety to put up, so if my Empoleon deck isn't there by this time next week, please don't blame me. You can also look out for the Belgian Nationals winning deck, which was a really good Evil Tail Garbodor list, but I doubt that will be up in the next week. And several of you are requesting a Kangaskhan Aromatist deck breakdown. The honest answer is I don't have the cards for that online at the moment, and there are other videos which have kind of jumped in front of it. But it is coming. I have had somebody send me a bunch of PTCGO codes over the past week. Thank you very much to that chap for doing so. He knows who he is. He's a lovely man. So that will hopefully get me some of the cards. So as soon as I've got the cards that I need, I will do that because it has been requested quite heavily. So that's my YouTube channel. And to be honest, a lot of that stuff will pretty much take me up to Rising Fists. Essentially, check out the YouTube channel. It allows me to do all the things I can't do on PTCG Radio. As long as people keep watching the YouTube channel, the videos will keep being produced. So, a couple other things to finish off about US Nationals. There were some complaints, as is inevitable. Not to the level of UK Nationals, but US Nationals, there were some complaints. One of the complaints was they were really harsh on deck lists. People whose deck lists were found to be wrong were given game losses. But they announced this at the beginning of the tournament and gave everyone 5 minutes to check their deck list. So I don't have any sympathy for these people. The people I do have sympathy for are the people who wrote Juniper instead of Professor Juniper and got a game loss, which happened to a number of people. However, when I complained about this to my judge friend, she very correctly pointed out there is now Cedric Juniper, so just writing Juniper on your deck list is incorrect and should be punished. It's not like before where Juniper could only refer to the one card. So I do understand where they were coming from with that. And it was just some allegation that was overly harsh. The one thing that annoyed me was that at UK Nationals, I was taken aside and given a fairly stern warning for looking at my watch during a game and literally told that if I was looking at my watch, I'd have to take it off. Which is fair enough, it is provided for in the rules. I can't really argue about that, because the rules of the game do allow for that. At US Nationals, they put clocks up, so that everyone knew how long was left in the round. Now, there was consistency between tournaments, because at UK Nationals, everyone was treated like me, and at US Nationals, everyone had access to the clocks. But a bit more consistency between tournaments would have been nice. The other thing is, at US Nationals, everyone actually got given their promo. Not that I'm bitter. So that's about it in terms of US national stuff. If there's anything I've missed, do let me know. As always, tweet me at the Wossy or email me at ptcgradio@hotmail.co.uk. Or if you're listening on YouTube, just stick a comment down there below. And I know I talk about my YouTube channel a lot at the moment, ladies and gentlemen, but it does take a lot of time and effort to be posting 5 or 6 new videos a week with various topics, trying not to get too repetitive with different decks. It involves making decks, testing decks, putting the videos up, which again take a lot of time. And it's only worth it if people are actually reacting to this. So go along, subscribe, watch some videos. I'm probably posting on average, not including the podcast itself, about an hour of content a week on YouTube at the moment. So please get yourself over there, have a look, PTCG Radio, it's on YouTube, have a look, subscribe, do the usual thing. I got bored last time because not enough people watched it. Let's not let that happen again. So we do now have the final numbers of Worlds qualifiers, etc., but I've got a couple of interviews I want to chuck on the end of this podcast, so that can be something which goes in next week. We could also talk about the realities of a Plasma Storm On format, but honestly, I don't want to do that until Plasma Storm On is confirmed. Now, in a second, you're going to hear interviews from Scott Burgess and hopefully Sam McCluey, which will bring the total amount of UK Worlds qualifiers on the podcast to 6. I am going to keep going for as long as I can with UK Worlds qualifiers because the reaction to the interviews has been really good. I have had a number of people telling me that yes, they do want to hear seniors. I am going to see what I can do, and also in terms of getting international qualifiers, I'll try and get some of them on there as well. But we've only got so many weeks towards Worlds. I don't know if I'm going to get every UK qualifier, but we've got at least 8. We've got at least 2 more next week who have confirmed they'll be on it. Out of, I think, 14. So I will be getting on to the rest of the people and giving them the opportunity. and giving you an opportunity, hopefully, to learn a bit about them and cheer them on. So you're going to hear interviews here from Scott Burgess and Samuel McLuey. Scott does have a fairly prominent Scottish accent. He's actually called Scott, not because he's Scottish. He's actually called Scott. But I'm sure you guys will cope okay with that. I hope they're enjoyable. As always, if there's any questions, at the WASI, ptcdradio@hotmail.co.uk. And a huge, massive thank you to those two gentlemen for agreeing to be on the podcast. As always, it is massively, massively appreciated when people are willing to give up their time to be on the podcast. And I very much appreciate the effort that those guys have gone to be on the podcast. And I will see you at the other side. Enjoy. Okay, so I'm here with UK Masters Nationals champion, Scott Burgess. How you doing, Scott?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thanks,
sir. I'd probably be doing all right if I had a paid trip to Washington as well. So, start off nice and simple. Same question I've asked everybody else. How did you actually get started with Pokemon?
Probably going to get the same answer as everyone else, but just kind of, growing up as a kid, just when it first came out and playing it then. I suppose, in terms of now, and playing the game just now, I suppose probably about 4 years ago when I started university, I just went into a game shop one day and I saw a pack of cards and I just thought, why not, let's buy a pack, see what's changed, what's the same. I think it was a card called Soul Silver around that time.
Sounds about right.
And I think I started collecting for about maybe a year or so, and then I saw all these shows on YouTube, just Pokemon Dan and Jay Ritz and all that, and just talking about all these leagues and all these tournaments going on. I thought, see if there's one nearby, and the closest one to me was I think at the time Cumbernauld, which was about half an hour to get to, but maybe a bit longer, I can't remember exactly. So I just went along there one day and took it from there, pretty much.
Screw from there. What about PTCGO? Loads of the people I've been talking to have said that as they started getting into it, PTCGO got launched, the official online program, and that really helped them get into it. Was that something that really helped you, or was it more just going to leagues rather than playing online?
I suppose the online helped as well. I mean, I think that came out probably about, maybe, I can't remember exactly, about a year after I started going to leagues and all that. So, but when it came out, I didn't use it at first that often. I think it was only probably about once, I can't remember exactly, sorry, but I think it was just when they've done some more of the updates and what it looks like today, that's I think when I started using it quite a bit. I think the first time I used it a lot was for, I think the Nationals a year back, just paying for that. But before then, it was going to leagues. And there was another league that came up in Edinburgh, so ended up going to that for.
Fair enough, some more playing in person, that's cool. So, you've been playing for a couple of years now, then 3 years. Have you had a favourite deck or a favourite format, the most enjoyable time for playing?
Yeah, in terms of format, I mean, everyone says the SP format's probably the best in terms of strategy compared to some of the formats we've had recently, and I think that was when I just started, and at the time I was just playing pretty bad deck, pretty much. So I don't really have a favourite format, as Murray. I'll just play whatever's there. But in favourite deck, probably, it's got to be a tie between two, the Typhlosion Reshiram deck from a few years back, and also the Plasma decks just now. I think that's a deck I've been using quite a lot recently and just had a lot of fun with that.
Let's think back to, before we talk about Nationals this year, let's go back to Nationals last year. Am I correct in thinking you played a fairly unusual deck? Or was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago I played a Donphan deck. So, following your footsteps, I guess.
Yeah, it made me very sad because that was a year after I cut with Donphan. I said it was no longer viable and you went and made top 16 with it.
Yeah, again, it was like at the time, it was, I think I had no idea what the paper match was, but I knew like Dark Cloud stuff would be popular and you couldn't get the cards of that. And I think I was actually watching, like, I think it came from like a Pokemon Dan video, I can't remember, but I think he was discussing some like Emporium Dongfan deck, and I thought, Dongfan could work. So, try that. I kind of expected to just kind of crash out of that, and then next thing I knew, it was like 5-0, and I thought, okay, what's going on here?
So. No, and that was the first time I heard of you, and you instantly gained massive respect in my eyes for that one. Anyone that does well with Dongfan, instant favourite. So let's drop forward to this year then. You qualified by winning Nationals, got your paid trip, all lovely. How close were you before Nationals? Were you on course for an invite anyway, or was it Nationals or bust?
I was kind of going for an invite towards like the second half of the season, but I think I ended up on some like 380 points going into Nationals, so I was close to an invite, but I still needed... Top 8 is only 100 points, so I needed the top 4 to get in, at least. So
top 4 is a cut-off in the UK where you get an automatic invite anyway, so it's kind of a catch-22.
Pretty much.
You're either going to end up on 380 or 820. Excellent.
Yeah.
So, this is, if I remember correctly, your first go at Worlds. What are you expecting from Worlds? Is it going to be a good shout, or is it going to be kind of go along for the experience and see what happens?
Probably the latter, really. I've heard so many people say so many good things about Worlds and just what an experience it is and all that stuff. So I just kind of want to go along, just to say, been there, done that. See how far I get. I mean, I don't expect to do that well. I mean, it's well, it's gonna be like a lot of good players there, so I just kind of said, just go along, have some fun, meet some people, and if I do well, then see what happens, really.
Sounds like a plan. And just to finish off with kind of this year's Pokemon, a lot of people talk about, going to Nationals, playing the deck you know. Now, you talked a minute ago about playing Plasma and that being one of your favourite decks. And I know a fairly large winner box tournament in Wakefield, about 2 or 3 weeks before Nationals, you did rather well with Plasma. How did you end up playing Yveltal at Nationals?
I think they do have that tournament, I think, remembering correctly. But, I ended up going to that tournament. I ended up coming in, I think it was like top 8. I got knocked out against, I think it was Oliver Barnett, his Brazilian Genocide deck. But I got like top 8 in that. And I kind of figured after that, but two things really. One of them was, okay, if I am going for an invite, I need top 4. And if I'm only getting top 8 in this event, then that's not going to be good enough. So maybe try something else. And it basically came down to either playing your Beautiful Garbodor or playing some other variant of Plasma. Maybe like the Kyurem Plasma was playing the Lugia at the time. But I didn't know how popular decks like Pyro would be. I figured if I play Kyurem and I come across a Pyro list, then I probably wouldn't know how to beat that, so I figured Garbodor with Yveltal would probably be a better overall choice rather than something which I may have a bad matchup with. So I just decided just to Yveltal Garbodor.
Sounds good. It was very interesting. I was talking to Mao on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he said all he needed was top 16, so he played TDK because he thought it was the safest deck to cut with. Whereas you've gone for the opposite of, I didn't want to cut, I had to get top 4, so I needed to go for something which gave me more options across the board. Nice little contest.
Yeah.
So, just to finish off, last little question. Are there any plans to slow down or stop Pokemon in the near future? Or is it, Nationals win, Worlds invite this year, full speed ahead in the future?
I wouldn't say there's any plans to stop, but I've been talking to a couple of friends about this, maybe, but... I think this was kind of the year where, I mean, before now I've like lived up in in Edinburgh playing the game, so I didn't come down for tournaments that often. This year I started a new job in Leeds, so it was kind of closer to some of the other tournaments going on. So this kind of took the year I decided to go to pretty much anything I could go to or anything I could travel to. I think in future it will probably just be, I'll probably will be slowing down a little bit. I think this year has just been way too much time traveling and just need to kind of focus on other things. But I mean, I'll still be playing the game and still be at tournaments, but just not as many as last year.
The traveling and expense does weigh you down after a while. I can agree with that one. Well, thank you very much for your time, sir, and good luck at Worlds.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, so you should have just heard from Scott Burgess, the winner of UK Nationals this past year. Now we're joined by Samuel McCluey, who also made the final of UK Nats this year. How you doing, Sam?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Now, we'll get to UK Nationals in a minute and your second place and your paid trip to Washington and all that good stuff. But let's go back to the beginning. How did you actually get into Pokemon and how long have you been playing?
I've been playing since Base Set, really. But competitively since about 2008. And I'd say I got into it through my two older brothers.
So they were playing before you and they kind of introduced you to it?
They were kind of, it was like the craze at their school at the time. So I kind of got it from them.
Superb. So if you've been playing for that long, I mean, you've, unlike a lot of the people I've been talking to who have qualified for Worlds, you've actually seen a large amount of different formats. How does this current format compare, and do you have a favourite format you've played in?
I think my favourite format would definitely be one with Luxtromp in it. I thought that was the most skillful.
And why was that? Why was there more skill back then than there is nowadays?
I don't like how there are EXs in the format at the moment. They're too powerful. And like back then, it was just like one prize card per Pokemon. And so, like, you had to really plan out which ones you were going to take.
Okay.
And, like, especially with, like, Luxray and Brightluck. I felt there was a lot of skill in knowing kind of which Pokemon to target.
Okay. That makes sense. Obviously, you've got Ninetales and Brightluck now for people that haven't been playing quite so long. So what about favourite decks? I mean, you mentioned Luxtromp there. Is that your favourite deck that you've played, or are there others which you kind of prefer to that one?
I think my favourite deck of all time would have to be Shuffit. Even though it's probably the most skillless. I just found that deck really fun.
Tell us about, is that the Shuffit Donk deck?
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us about Shuffit Donk, because there's probably a lot of people listening who have never even heard of that deck.
It was basically just like loads of really cheap Pokemon, and you could draw through like half your deck turn one. And you could just like donk like three or four basics on your first turn.
That's what, didn't
quite
you
easily.
Attach loads of plus power and then you did some damage and put it back into your hand or something so you could reuse it every turn.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, getting the same plus powers every single turn. Which seems a little bit cheeky.
Yeah.
I've been donked by that deck before. So,
yeah.
Worlds this year then. Obviously, you qualified through Nationals. You got second and got your paid invite. Were you going for a Worlds invite particularly before that? Did you have many championship points?
I like living down south, like near Brighton, it's quite difficult to travel to enough tournaments. So I don't even think I went to any states or regionals this year or last year. So even if I'd won like every tournament I've been to, I don't even think I'd have like half an invite.
Fair enough. So quite a surprise at Nationals. So what did you play at Nationals this year?
I played Yveltal Raichu.
What was the theory behind that?
I felt like Yveltal was the best deck at the moment, and you've got the best deck, and then Raichu counters the best deck, so it seemed like a good match.
Sounds like a plan. Play the best deck with a counter just in case you come across anybody else also playing the best deck.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, if I understand correctly, although you've been playing for a while, this is actually your first time going to Worlds, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So what are the expectations? Do you think you can make a really good run at it, or is it more just first Worlds, have a go, see what happens?
I'm not expecting to, like, amazingly, but I definitely think, like, I've got, like, the option to. Like, I think it's possible, but obviously there's going to be, like, loads of other really world-class players there, and, like, it would be stupid to expect to do, like, so well.
Yes, I've always maintained that in the big tournaments, you need so much luck. If you expect to do well, you'll probably be disappointed.
yeah, there are going to be like lots of great players there with like experience from previous worlds. So I think like I wouldn't be, I'm aiming to do well, but I'm not like banking on it.
I think that sounds fair enough, to be honest. So I suppose the last question, what we've been finishing off for everyone is, I mean, you say yourself the last couple of years you haven't been playing a huge amount, more just playing the odd tournament here or there and then, you know, going to Nationals for one last roll of the dice.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that what you're planning to go with for the future? Are there plans to, you know, join the grind for a Worlds invite, or is it more kind of casual like you have been going forward?
Personally, I find, like, financially, because, like, I'm only 17, so I kind of find it difficult to travel to enough tournaments and to afford Worlds. So, like, I can usually do one or the other. So if Worlds was in Europe, I'd probably travel. But otherwise, I think I'd always just roll the dice on Nationals.
Well, I mean, it's certainly worked this year, so...
Yeah.
So far, your plan's working out quite nicely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time, sir, and good luck at Worlds.
Thanks.
So once again, thank you to those two gentlemen for helping us out with the podcast this week. It is massively appreciated. And that will be that for this week, as always. You can get me on Twitter at @TheWhatsApp. You can email me at ptcgradio@hotmail.co.uk. Or if you're listening on YouTube, SoundCloud, etc., just pop a little comment down below and I will get back to you. Next week, we'll be talking about the total number of Worlds qualifiers from each region, along with a bunch of other good stuff, and hopefully interviews with a couple of other UK Worlds qualifiers. So join us back here again next Wednesday. Thank you very much for listening. My name's Ross, and you've been listening to PTCG Radio.